Hey, this is Hannah, and I'm here with the incredible Sophie B. Hawkins. You know, the voice, the songwriter behind hits like Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover, and As I Lay Me Down. She's just released Wailer Reemerging, and that is from her original album, Wailer, from 1994. And it's a beautiful acoustic version. And she's bringing that music to Alberta along with Paula Cole. Thank you, Sophie, for being here with me. Now let's jump in. I'm wondering if you were aware of the lyrics that you wrote in the verse 3 of Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover and the effect it would have on people. Because back then it was released in the 90s when this kind of stuff was not talked about. And here's what it said. I sat on the mountainside with peace of mind. I lay by the ocean making love to her with visions clear. Walked for days with no one near. And I returned as chained and bound to you.
I wasn't aware. And I didn't think about how it was going to affect people. And it was so much a part of the story of the song. First of all, I thought no one's going to listen to the lyrics. But if they do listen to the lyrics, I didn't think it's part of this way that I grew up in is take things as they are. Mm. And I didn't grow up in an environment. And it's because of my age. It's because of when I grew up.
Yeah.
You know, in New York City. I didn't think, oh, that person's in that box and that person's in that box. And we also didn't grow up, by the way, with religion. Like we heard Handel's Messiah. We heard all the great religious music. My parents had both been forced to go to church. But for me, in New York City, it was open to whatever I thought was really interesting. Or mostly I was open to the people that I thought were interesting, whether they were coming from being Jewish, which was very influential to me as how they raised their families, or Catholics, very influential about the emotionality of sexuality. And like there was so much stuff that I was like, I remember thinking at 9 years old, I can love Catherine Deneuve and Leif Garrett.
Right?
Wow. Like I remember having that thought, like I can do anything or I can feel anything. And I didn't know that other people didn't think they could.
Yeah, that's a really interesting reflection, because when I think about it, like I'm basically an 80s, 90s child. And so I was a teenager screaming your song at the top of my lungs in my bedroom, for sure.
Wow. Right.
But I also, oddly, because of where I was raised at the time, and actually was highly multicultural, I had a deep influence in hip hop and R&B.
Right.
Too. And I did have those moments where people back then, it's like you only listened, you know, it was either just the boy bands or it was just rap. Yeah. But I had a really interesting span too, because I also had parents that were Christian. So I had music all over the place and a lot of music I had to sneak in, like yours.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So they would have raised a flag on that.
Oh, they raised a flag. I mean, I couldn't even listen to Red, Red Wine, you know, because it said wine in the title.
Oh, my God. But did that now? Do you think they were right in retrospect or not?
Here's the thing. We all know about I have twin daughters that are 23, and anything that you restrict them on, they will find a way.
Yes.
So be careful what you restrict them on, because that's what they're going to go after. And I have a really great, deep music taste of Aerosmith to R&B and hip hop, because they wouldn't allow it.
Wow. You know, it's really interesting what you're saying. I think you're on the money with this one. By the way, I thought you were 23. So you're not, I guess.
I'm in my late 40s, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a wonderful age. I had Dashiell when I was 43, my son.
Wow.
And I loved my 40s. I actually love getting older, I have to say.
Yeah.
I really love it every day. The things that are falling away, that are falling away in my brain. I'm so grateful. And I said to my musicians when we were touring, and they're much younger than me, and they were saying something about whatever. And I said, you know, kids, all I have to do is stick around.
Yes.
It's really interesting. But, you know, I have, like you have, I have two children, and I have found that, well, with my son, I really trust him. I mean, he's a tender, brave soul.
Mm.
And I'm really glad that I have tried hard not to mess him up and that I have let him be himself. Mm-hmm. And I do find, even with Esther, my daughter, who's 10, some people are very conservative around me, you know, just friends. And they say, you know, you should. And all I think is, I think that she's smarter than all of us. I think
Right.
she's listening to everything. She's figured out so many things, and she wants the truth, and she wants to feel safe and loved, and to feel safe and belong in her home. Not this, you should, she knows already. She knows already. And the and whether she can talk about it is whether we allow our children to feel safe to talk about things.
Yeah, and I think your music was way ahead of its time. You know, you were emerging and doing and saying things that a lot of people, even if it was undertones, like you even said, oh, I wasn't sure if people were listening to my lyrics, but you know, we were for the ones that needed it and wanted to hear that. We
Beautifully
absolutely
said.
were. And I think it's so interesting that you have re-released, like, you've gone back at the most popular album for a lot of people, which is Wailer. And now it's Wailer reemerging. And I, when I was listening to it, I was wondering what it's like to write something decades ago and then come back and do it again. Is there, like, what did you notice? Was it different in the lyrics or the emotions now? Like, what was the experience for you like?
I love the question. In all honesty, it was this feeling that I was really crystallizing then, emotions that now, believe it or not, feel more true. Even silly songs like True Romance, I feel more strong. I'm more committed to them now. Even songs like Don't Tell Me No, which then I thought are too poppy and too boring. But now I listen to them and I go, wow, no, I'm even more committed to the lyrics, even, especially the lyrics. I love singing them. Hannah, I love singing them. They're still not easy, by the way. Some of the melodies are not. I was never a singer, I was a drummer. And I wrote the songs.
Fascinating.
Yes, and when I wrote the songs, I wrote them because I love the chord changes and I love the harmonic evolution. And the lyrics, I always love, I write all the time. I love words, but singing is so hard for me. You can hear it in my voice. I'm not a natural singer. So, and when there's just been, it's been my biggest challenge has been accepting my voice. So to sing them now, I go, wow, you're singing them, you know, now, and I can see why it was a struggle then. They're very, you know, there are lots of jumps and it's hard.
Yeah. You have such a unique voice. So to hear you say that to me, I'm like, oh, but your voice is so unique. This is what makes you stand out. And you're like, oh, yeah, no. Drumming, this is where I'm at. And to
Oh
me,
my God. Do you know when I played my very first songs at 22, whatever, from behind the drum set, I was in a band called the Pink Men, two guys, and they were great songwriters. And I was playing the drums, and then I said, can I throw in a song of my own? And just to keep me happy, they let me sing a song of my own. And so, you know, they would apologize for my voice at the Blue Rose Cafe in Harlem. They'd
no.
say, oh, well, cool song, but, you know, don't worry, we're getting your singing lessons. And I would sit there behind the drum set thinking, you know, okay, but I still wanted to do my songs. It was that important to me.
Yeah. Like, thank God that you did. Is there a song that you feel maybe didn't hit, you know, didn't hit all the charts and didn't maybe get the attention it deserved, but one that you wish that people would really revisit?
Wow, what a great question. Almost the whole album of the Free Myself, because I don't think anyone did hear the album of Free Myself. But when I think back,
Oh, yeah.
yes, the new album Free Myself, I don't think people heard it, and I love what that album's about. I love the lyrics.
Yes.
So but that's one of them. But of the old stuff, I think when I think of a song that I love the lyrics so much, it's Before I Walk on Fire, and I don't know why, but it's so bare. It starts
Oh.
out, I lied, I stole. In the name of fear, but I won't be silent here. And it feels like I'm reaching to humanity. I know, and I can't believe there's not time to do all these songs. I'm just struggling with the silence because it's me and Paula, so we each only have an
Yeah.
hour.
Yeah, I was like, this is quite the dynamic duo. It's both you and Paula. You're going to be in Alberta. And because Raven is not just in Edmonton, I have all the dates here because you're in Camrose, Fort Saskatchewan, St. Albert, Red Deer. And I was thinking that. I was like, just one of you on stage, you can't even do your full set list. Like, this is quite the experience to have you both on stage.
And you know, we're both also traveling together. I really love Paula, and she's a mom too. And we're so different, obviously, as songwriters and as singers. I mean, she can teach. Like, she actually taught at Berklee School of Music, so she's incredibly, profoundly, what you would call it, evolved as a technician. As also, and I always feel like, as I mentioned before, but I will say that we also have so much love and respect for each other. And it's good that we're so different, really.
Is there a message, like looking back now, that you would maybe send to your 25-year-old self?
Well, you know, it's such a listen, Hannah, this is so incredible because we didn't have screens.
Right? This is the
And
thing.
so, right, and then raising children. So, you know, I'm so strict with screens with my kids. So I wonder if I were my kid. So my kids, no screens at all during weekdays, at all. And they're like, oh my God, you're the only parent who's this strict. But I say, you know, you'll see that it's the screens will always be there, but the development of these other skills and just being able to be quiet and draw with music and read a full book and all that, the distraction won't be there. And you will be able to do things that people could do back in the day, but maybe can't do anymore. We don't know. We, you know, this, the nobody knows what's going to happen,
Oh, yeah.
right?
I
So,
agree.
but what I would say if to my 25, I would hope that my 25-year-old self would understand that life without screens is actually better. And I feel that really strongly. Like, I had this person that I loved so much in my 20s. And I'm sure I wrote right beside you about this person. And when I wanted to meet this person, I thought and thought and thought. This person is a woman. I thought of her. And guess what? I went to the cash machine on 4th and Sheridan Square. There she was.
There she
I didn't
was.
text her. I didn't call her. I thought of her. And it was a really, I never even got to be with this person. I just loved her so much. And our connection, even with all the strife of her not being available and just everything, the age difference and everything, even with that, my thinking of her and her hearing the thought, this is what people don't trust now. The fact that when I moved to LA from Manhattan and I had to use the top all the Macs, we didn't have Google.
Did you
And I had
remember
to
the
write on
maps?
Macs like wars. And I feel like there was such a pride in that. And I have my old Macs, all of my old Macs from touring even, when we would
Really?
write the routes down from state to state.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with all of that is to your point is that we've learned we're not tuned into being able to trust ourselves and our own intuition. Like even
Yes.
with the maps, you're looking at something, but you still have to make a decision and
Right.
like trust and go. And that
Right.
gets taken away with all the screens and even to just be quiet and like you're thinking of someone and allowing whatever that energy is for that a person to appear, right? And we can get disconnected by that technology. And I think, you know, this is the beauty of music. Music can bring us back to that place too.
I agree. And as Esther, my daughter, said yesterday, she was practicing her violin. She's 10. And she told me something that I thought that I had said to her when she was little, but she said, you know, music does this and this and this to the brain. And she was giving me this whole dissertation of how it's making her smarter, whether she becomes a musician or not. And I was so glad she gets that and understands that. Because even if you're not playing it, it is opening as nature does. When I was sitting on my porch writing, because it's getting colder now. When I was sitting on the porch in the morning writing and I saw the geese flying north, I said to myself, now, if I were on a screen, I wouldn't be looking up and going, that's north. And I'll know it's north and I'll remember it's north. And if the shit hits the fan, that's north. And I know that. And it's going to be good to know that if I have a map in front of me and there's the North Star and that's north. And this is how people figure things out.
Yeah, and you know what else is north? Canada.
What? Yes.
Canada. And we can't
Yay,
wait to see
Canada.
you. Well, Sophie B. Hawkins, you know, damn, I wish I was your lover. And Paula Cole are going to be in Alberta, starting in Camrose on October 17th, then Fort Saskatchewan on the 18th, St. Albert on the 25th, Red Deer 26th, and Calgary on the 27th. Check out all those details at ravenradio.ca.